Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Daily Objective. A lot of people have been talking about the recent Dave Chappelle monologue on Saturday Night Live, so we thought we would react to it here. Go ahead, leave a like on the video on YouTube, super chat your questions or thoughts, and hit the join button to become a member. Let's just jump right into this.
Thank you very much for being here. But before I start tonight, I just wanted to read a brief statement that I prepared. I denounce anti-Semitism in all its forms. And I stand with my friends in the Jewish community. And that, Kanye, is how you buy yourself some time.
Pause. Oh, yeah, by the way, everything I'm saying today is comedy. So if you have a problem with, you know, me critiquing comedy, you know, anyone who says, oh, stop taking comedy seriously, let Dave Chappelle do his thing. I'm actually doing comedy and you are, in fact, censoring me if you have a problem with anything I say today. Yeah, I mean, so like right off the bat, he's kind of like rolling his eyes, kind of like Kanye, you can't piss off the wrong people. But I mean, so far, this is just kind of like lighthearted, like, you know, you can't get in too much trouble. He's definitely downplaying the severity of what Kanye West said over this whole routine he's going to do. He sort of conflates Kanye with himself, or like, why can't we talk about anything? Or why is it okay to think this, but not to say it out loud? He's going to get into all of it, making it sound like Kanye made some sort of lighthearted passing remark, or like some basically reasonable point of view that he expressed. Dave Chappelle, in his past Netflix special, he had that like routine about space Jews, where he like strongly implied that like Jews today are treating Palestinians worse than the way Germans treated the Jews. So it's like, yeah, it's comedy. And does he actually believe that? It seems like he does. I would never in a million years try to get him off the stage or to silence him or to boycott him. But I mean, it's just he's not a big fan of the Jews. I don't think he is. He's a bitter, grumpy Muslim with a chip on his shoulder. And that's just kind of what the evidence suggests to me about Dave Chappelle. But let's go on with the video, shall we?
I got to tell you guys, I've probably been doing this 35 years now. And early in my career, I learned that there are two words in the English language that you should never say together in sequence. And those words are the and Jews.
Pause. Yeah, so again, like right off the bat, I've been doing this for 35 years. What, comedy? I've been doing comedy for 35 years. You don't ever go mess with the Jews. Like you can't make fun of the Jews in comedy. Like it's not done constantly. Like the Jews don't have a sense of humor. I mean, so he's conflating actual unironic statements made by Kanye West with himself doing comedy. He's kind of like warning Kanye, oh, no, don't go there. Look, you know, take it from me. I know. So that's BS right off the bat. Another point is for him to say, like, yeah, let it play for a few seconds. Go ahead.
I heard someone do good after they said that. He's gotten into some scrapes before. No,
all right, pause. Yeah, like him saying, like, don't ever say the words the and then followed by Jews. Like, that never works out good. As opposed to what? Any other groups, maybe? Like, is that the only group you can't insult and threaten, Chappelle? Can you think of any other groups who, if you insult and threaten publicly, it might not do good for your career and status in society, in polite society? I don't know. Can anyone think of any other group of people, any racial, ethnic group who, if you threaten and insult and accuse of doing anything bad for society, it might not bode well for you? I don't know. I'm looking at Dave Chappelle and I'm just drawing a big blank. I got nothing. Yeah, there's no other racial group in America who, if you openly are racist towards, it would not be good for your career. Right? Because we know, according to Chappelle, as you know, people like him and Kanye imply or explicitly state, if you get in trouble for insulting a group of people, that automatically means that that group of people runs everything. They're in full control. And Kanye West has been repeating this over and over. Oh, look at all the consequences of what I said. Adidas dropped me. This dropped me. I lost $1.5 billion. That only proves that the Jews really do run everything. Like, that's the logic, right? So by that reasoning, I would think anyone who gets in trouble for insulting any group of people, for being racist and bigoted towards any group of people, if they get in trouble for it, if there are undesirable consequences, that means automatically that that group they threatened and insulted is in full control of everything. It's just very sloppy, lazy thinking. Just kind of, and listen, I'm a fan of stupid comedy, don't you know it? But like with Dave Chappelle, he's lionized as like, this guy's like the deepest thinker of the times we live in. This is like the one lone honest voice we have left in society. He's overrated in my view in terms of his depth. In terms of a comedy performer, he really is one of the best. Let's go ahead.
When he's in trouble, I pull up immediately. But this time I was like, you know what? Let me see what's going to happen first. I just want to see where this is all going. I can't even remember how it started. Vaguely, I remember it started with a tweet, strange tweet. It was like, I'm feeling a little sleepy. I'm going to give me some rest, but when I wake up, I'm going to go DEFCON 3 on the Jews. And then he just went to bed. I was up all night worried. What is he going to do to the Jews?
Pause it. I think he was worried about Kanye's career as a consequence of what he tweeted, but now I'm just reading his mind. Go ahead with the video.
I grew up around Jewish people. I have a lot of Jewish friends.
And I know a black guy. I have two black friends. So, I can say anything I want. Go ahead.
So I'm not freaked out by your culture. I know a little bit about it just from hanging around. I'd be like, yo, let's go out after school tomorrow. They'd be like, we can't go out. It's Sha-na-na tomorrow. I'd be like, where? What is Sha-na-na? I had so many questions. Why do some of your people dress like Run DMC? Kanye woke up from that nap. We went right to work. A year ago, I'd seen him on a podcast called Drink Champs. Well, great show. And it was an amazing appearance. Noriega and them were there, the rappers that I love, and they all had their gold chains and stuff on. And Kanye said, only millionaires wear chains. They said, what? He said, I'm a billionaire. Billionaires don't wear their money on their body. I tucked my chain and I said, oh, snap.
Yeah, pause. Yeah, Kanye is like, his impact on fashion is maybe bigger than his music. He's like, back in like the 2000s, pretty much any famous rapper, all you really saw them wear was like a sports jersey. That was pretty much it. Am I misremembering? Does anyone remember like something different? That's what I remember. Thanks to Kanye West's influence, you start to see rappers wearing skinny jeans and Metallica t-shirts. And you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it was like sport. Before that, it was sports, like what I mean, sports jersey or like name brand, like, you know, Nike name brand, right? But like usually very baggy. Kanye basically he made fashion much more fun and definitely, you know, in so-called black culture or urban culture, whatever, hip hop culture, you got the barriers between, you know, the white skaters and the black, whatever, rappers, they've blended and the world is a less, segregated place, less divided. This is not the most important point I'll make, but yeah, Kanye West saying only millionaires like show off their money, right? It's tacky, it's trashy to flaunt money, you know, to flash money around. It's not dignified. It's not, you don't respect the money when you do that. A billionaire, you know, you see a real billionaire, someone like Mark Cuban, Elon Musk, these guys are wearing cargo shorts and flip-flops and going to work. They're busy. Okay, let's get back to the video.
It was a good appearance. It was fun and funny. But when he woke up, he went on Drink Champs again. This time, he was on one. He was mad about something. He said, I can say anti-Semitic things, and Adidas can't drop me. Now what? Adidas dropped that nigga immediately. Ironically, Adidas was founded by Nazis. And they were offended.
Pause. So it's like, again, like as a for a comedy show that, yeah, that's a that joke is perfectly fine. But again, Dave Chappelle is seen as like the last brave man standing in this culture, willing to tell us the truth. Like, that is a lazy, low hanging joke right there. Adidas was founded by Nazis. And even they said Kanye went too far. Like, really, are you suggesting that Adidas today currently are Nazis, that they, I mean, look, every German company that was around in World War II has some skeletons in their closet, or a lot of them, the big ones. Volkswagen. I mean, German companies, I mean, it was a fascist situation, right? And some companies went the extra mile in support of the regime. But to suggest that, like, Adidas today, you go, you speak to the people at Adidas or at Volkswagen, and they're just like, yeah, you know, the values of this company, you know, going back to the 1930s, we really believe in, you know, furthering the Aryan race. I mean, it's silly. Obviously, it's absurd. The people running Adidas today probably aren't even German anymore, for all I know. But yeah, it's again, low-hanging, easy joke. If anyone took that joke seriously, like, if anyone thought like Dave Chappelle was a genius for coming up with that, that only speaks to how low the bar has sunk in the times we live in. Back to the video.
Yes, the students have passed the teacher.
Yeah, pause. Yeah, like, the students have passed the teacher. That's the part that, like, made me roll my eyes. Like, oh, wow, this guy is so on point, right? Dave Chappelle, right? The teacher are the Nazis, right? Adidas Nazis are the teacher. And here, Kanye West is the student. It's just... yeah, it's, again, for comedic purposes, it's plenty fun and silly. But is this supposed to be really deep and insightful? Back to the video.
It's a big deal. He had broken the show business rules. Is this a rule? You know, the
here
rules
it is.
Of perception. No. If they're black, then it's a gang. If they're Italian, it's a mob. But if they're Jewish, it's a coincidence, and he should never speak about it.
Pause. So, like, I was trying to understand, like, think about, like, what exactly is he saying here? Again, for the purpose of a comedy skit, a comedy routine, yeah, that's a cute way to lay it out, right? If they're black, it's a gang. If they're Italian, it's a mob. If they're Jewish, it's a coincidence. It's like a passing sort of silly joke you would make. And I don't have a problem with him saying it as a comedian on TV or whatever, but, like, is there a point he's actually making here? Because I just can't wrap my mind around what the point he's trying to make. Is Chappelle saying that in common society, you know, in polite society, you can point to a group of black guys and say, hey, look, there goes a gang, and that's acceptable? Is that what he's saying? Or is he saying that in showbiz, in, you know, Hollywood, in movies and TV, blacks are depicted as gangsters, Italians are depicted as mobsters, and the Jews are never depicted as running the show and conspiring? I mean, maybe because the first two have some reference in reality, right? There are gangs comprised of blacks. There are mobs comprised of Italians. There's also gangs and mobs comprised of Jews. They're since the Prohibition, at least, the Purple Gang, they have been depicted in a show like Boardwalk Empire. But yeah, it's like, this is just very sloppy the way he's going about this. In terms of, like, that, are we supposed to abstract some meta point about this, about the world we live in, the rules of perception, right? If you see blacks, it's a gang. If you see Italians, it's a mob. If you see Jews, it's a coincidence. Maybe because the allegation against the Jews here is that they're conspiring and that they're, you know, running Hollywood and or running the media, which means what exactly, by the way? Like, what exactly does that mean? Can you, like, articulate, if you needed to, like, hand in a paper for school, articulate what exactly is going on in the media. Obviously, there's a lot of Jews working in various industries. If it's an industry that doesn't require manual labor, if there's a job that doesn't require athletics or manual labor, there's a good chance you're going to see Jews at the top, near the top or at the top. In other words, if it's a job that requires thinking, if it's a job that requires planning, you know, you look at a construction company, there's a good chance a lot of the people laboring are not of Jewish descent. And there's a good chance the guy who conceptualized the whole business, who borrowed the money and invested it towards building this business, who gets the jobs, who makes the schedule, who hires management and all of that. Oftentimes, the Jews are represented in such high-ranking jobs. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as we live in a free society where you can rise by your own merits, where there's nothing stopping Mexicans from rising to the top, Blacks, whoever, from rising to the top. Nobody should stand in their way physically. Nobody should use any sort of coercion to stop anyone from rising to the top. But what we end up with is this Marxist view that says, like, no, the guy in the factory floor doing the physical labor, he's the one creating value. And the greedy fat capitalist off somewhere is just getting all the money. Like, that's the way people look at it. And sadly, it's not just ignorant conspiracy nuts who see it that way. This is a common view. It's sad, but that's reality. There's an amazing dramatization in Atlas Shrugged, the novel by Ayn Rand, where the train is, you know, down. They're trying to get the train to run again. And there's this, the narrator, you know, Rand, she like articulates how like in the culture, people see the person pressing the button as like the one doing the work, like not the person who invented the train, not the person who, you know, mapped out the train tracks, not the one who scheduled the train with other trains. It's just the person pressing the button. That's who does all the work. And when the button is not working, there's just no one else to turn to. I don't know. Hope that rings the bell for some of you. If you haven't read Atlas Shrugged, you should. Anyway, because we see the world that way, we meaning the culture at large, not myself and you, the viewer, but generally that's the way people make sense of things. They blame the thinking person who created the business, and they give all the credit to the laborer who is doing the menial physical tasks. They end up hating the person at the top. And if the Jews are largely at the top, if the Jews are largely the owners of the company, if the Jews are largely the bankers loaning the money to the business, if the Jews are largely in positions of high economic power, then the Jews are blamed or just seen as orchestrating and manipulating the situation. But once they understand the task of the mind in business, the task of the mind and abstract thought and planning in life, in human life, in living, then suddenly the people rising to the top in the economy, they don't seem like the villains anymore. And if many of them happen to be of Jewish descent, that's not seen as a threat. That's not seen as a conspiracy. Let's keep on with the video.
Kanye got in so much trouble, Kyrie got in trouble.
Pause. So that's just BS. You know, Kyrie Irving, is it, from the NBA? He tweeted out or posted a link to a documentary that claims the Holocaust never happened. I mean, the whole documentary, in my understanding, is saying, you know, some revisionist history saying that the real Jews, the real Hebrews are, you know, Africans and, you know, Black people, whatever. And today's Ashkenazi Jews, right? They're fakes. They're not really Jewish. And one of the manipulative things that they did is stage the Holocaust, orchestrated it. That's my understanding, is what that trashy documentary says. So Kyrie Irving, he promoted that documentary in some way. And when it blew up, it did not get him in trouble because of Kanye. So again, Dave Chappelle just loosely throwing things together and creating this half-assed narrative. Once it all blew up, all Kyrie Irving had to do was just say, whoops, sorry. I thought it was interesting that this thing was saying that the real Jews were Black. I thought that was interesting. You know, I'm trying to learn my history, whatever it is. He could have just said, whoops, didn't mean to deny the Holocaust. My bad. I think the world largely would have moved on from that. But he doubled down. He insisted that, no, I'm the real Jew. You're all fake Jews. And that is not really a winning argument. That's not a not a way to deflect criticism. On to the video. Pause. Yeah, people just loved that that line right there, right? There, they burst into applause. Yeah, Kanye got into so much trouble, they punished Kyrie Irving. Not true, not even remotely close to the truth. There's really nothing that clever about what he said, but like everyone's, oh, Dave Chappelle, the GOAT, greatest of all time. All right, on with the video.
Kyrie Irving posted a link to a movie that he had seen on Amazon. No caption on the post or nothing like that, but apparently this movie had some, I don't know, anti-Semitic tropes or something. And it was some weird title, like From Hebrew to Negro or something.
Pause. Yeah, and all Kyrie Irving had to do was just say, whoops, whoops, didn't realize I was promoting something that crazy. Whoops, sorry. On with the video.
And the NBA told me he should apologize, and he was slow to apologize. And then the list of demands to get back in their good graces got longer and longer, and this is where, you know, I draw the line. I know
that people. Yeah, I mean, the ADL, Anti-Defamation League, they're not really no favorite of mine. I'm not a big fan of a lot of these advocacy civil rights groups or whatever. They're generally pretty sloppy, and they often do more harm than good in combating racism. And one, and in this case, I think one of the demands that the NBA made to Kyrie Irving is that, like, he needs to donate $500,000 to the Anti-Defamation League. It's like, how is that not going to look like extortion? And listen, and there's equivalents of this with every, like, anti-hate group. Not every, but many. Like, so, like, Al Sharpton, he's, like, sort of the, he's kind of the GOAT. He's, like, the greatest of all time of extortion on behalf of his community. Like he can, he would get people fired from the radio, or he would more frequently get donations out of them and threaten their sponsors and all these things. It's thuggish tactics. Look, if you really care about combating hatred and racism, then don't make it about money. Don't drag a donation out of somebody, you know, like use the opportunity to just make your view known. So it's very, very undignified to demand that it's the NBA demanding it, not the ADL, but it's very, very stupid of the NBA to demand that he donate $500,000 to anybody. I dislike that. Also the list of demands, it's like, yeah, you need to like go through sensitivity training. I guess that makes more sense, not just sensitivity, but like education, like learn about the Holocaust, but it's not going to make a difference, I don't think, with most people, because like, most people, like I said, they have this warped view of the world where they see economic power as equal to political power. So if someone has economic power, like they're successful in business, they have economic influence, they have a lot of money to their name. People see that as like that's the equivalent of like an emperor who conquered a land and took their spoils. That's how people see that. So you're not going to be able to convince, Kyrie Irving that the Jews are a victim of anything if he's got this mindset that just says no, like the real Jews are blacks and the Ashkenazi Jews are tricking everybody. I don't think you're going to be able to change his mind. The only way people are going to rethink the way they look at, you know, economics and economic power versus political power and stuff like that, the only way you're going to get people to rethink how they look at groups versus individuals is with a philosophical revolution, is with if people really start to understand free will, they understand individualism, they understand that reason is a thing, reason exists, and it's a faculty of the individual. So ultimately, there is no collective. There is no collective action or collective thought. There's really no collective interest. And in order for that to happen, people need to be selfish. They need to really embrace rational egoism. They need to embrace selfishness as a virtue. You know, a little momentary tangent here. The more I learn about philosophy, like the more I read, whether it's some 20th century American thinkers or whether it's the Germans around, you know, in the early 19th century or going back to God knows when, you know, to the early days of philosophy. And you see kind of like the same dichotomies over and over again, like mind versus body ultimately is what it is, you know, like abstractions versus concretes, you know, universals versus like particulars, like identity versus, I don't know, like, okay, I'm out of examples of, but you see these same, you say the same dichotomies over and over in philosophy. It's ultimately mind versus body. But the amazing thing to me is whenever a philosopher or any thinker actually wants to live on Earth, like actually wants a good life for himself, a lot of these sort of things start to fall into place, you know? So someone like Ayn Rand, she passionately valued, you know, her writing, her art. She passionately valued other art. She passionately, therefore, valued freedom, liberty. When there was something in reality she cared about and was willing to fight for, she was able to suddenly, not suddenly, but very quickly, like solve Plato's problem of universals and just like come up with this whole epistemology. Like she was motivated and reality was kind of like her bottom line. You know, someone like Francis Bacon going back 500 years or whenever he was living. Also, like a very religious, very flawed thinker, but because he was so focused on technology, focused on the betterment of life on Earth, he was not floating away like a lot of the other philosophers, a lot of, you know, people like Descartes and, you know, various rationalists. They would build systems in their minds that had no basis in reality. So all of this to say, this was supposed to be a short tangent. If reality is what you care about, if living in reality is what matters to you, then you're kind of able to sort of quickly put aside the junk. So if Dave Chappelle was more selfish, like if he really, really wanted a good life for himself, wanted to be happy, I don't think he would be still kind of like dragging his feet on all this collective blaming and collective, you know, victimization and stuff like that. That's kind of the way I look at it. But we're a quick super chat, shall we? Marilyn, thank you for $5. Phoebin with $5 says, people have volition. This is why statistics can't offer any insight into human nature. The number of Jews in any field does not have any relevance. It doesn't really have any relevance other than, you know, this came up when Yaron Brook gave an interview to some Eastern European guy who was like asking him, the interviewer said, like, it's a bit suspicious. You know, Ayn Rand, Leonard Peikoff, you know, like Razi Ginsburg. I don't think he mentioned that, but like all these people of Jewish descent are objectivists and ARI is very pro-Israel. It's a bit suspicious, the guy said. And I think Yaron's answer was on point. He said, like, instead of asking what are all these Jews doing right to end up objectivists, you're like, you're saying blah, blah, blah. It's just like, yeah, it's it'd be interesting to look at a group who is performing and, you know, Asian people are also performing high in medicine, performing high in academia, performing high in various fields that require thought. Indians and East Asians, all types of Asians, they perform very well. Rather than blaming them and making accusations of them working in cahoots collectively, why not ask, like, well, what are they doing right? What are they doing right? What is it about these cultures? That helps individuals pursue a good life. Then Marilyn with $3 more. Thank you for that. Back to the video.
Well, have been through terrible things all over the world, but you can't blame that on Black Americans. You just can't.
Pause. Yeah, he's saying the Jews have been persecuted throughout the world, but you can't blame that on Black people. That's or Black Americans. Nobody is blaming Blacks for, you know, the historical persecution of the Jews.
You know what I mean?
Literally nobody's saying that. So nobody's accusing Kyrie Irving of being in on the Holocaust, right? But he's saying, like, I guess he's saying, like, no, Kyrie can deny the Holocaust if he wants to, because his people, the Blacks, the Black Americans, just had nothing to do with the Holocaust. Whereas, let's say, a white guy may not be anti-Semitic because he or people who look like him did commit atrocities in Europe. I mean, it's very sloppy. It's just kind of what I'm coming to expect from this supposed deep thinker of our time, Dave Chappelle. And I will say this, in agreement with the fact that Blacks were not responsible for the Holocaust, obviously. I've heard it said, I think this is true, but we can look it up if I'm wrong. When the Americans were liberating camps, when they were liberating concentration camps, they sent in the Black soldiers to liberate the prisoners, you know, I think predominantly Jewish or whoever was in those camps, right? Jews plus, you know, Poles or whoever. They sent in, why do you suppose the Americans sent in black soldiers to liberate the camps? Why do you think that is? See if you can guess, and we'll come back to this in a moment. On with the video.
Thanks for the one person that said me.
Pause. Yeah, yeah. Christopher says so they wouldn't be scared. And more specifically, so that the people in the concentration camps would not suspect that these were just Germans disguised as Americans there to get them to calmly get on a, you know, get on another train and go to another camp, right? Because at this point, the if the Jews or the prisoners in the camps in general, you know, had a chance to, you know, to fight back, they were doing that. So to avoid any suspicion and attacks on Americans on under such suspicion, they sent in the black soldiers. So it would be very clear. No, these are not Germans. These are not Nazis. These are Americans. So there's a kind of a nice little factoid, you know, little historical footnote that I think is very, very pretty. Just kind of speaks to, I don't know, benevolence. Just kind of like there's no conflict among rational people, right? When a wonderful country like the United States liberates, you know, people from camps, and you know, they just don't want there to be any confusion. That was kind of nice. Anyway, on with the video.
A fair punishment would be he should just post the link to Schindler's List and y'all write your own captions.
Pause. Yeah, so look, Dave Chappelle, he's right to like to kind of decry political correctness and the constant demands for apologies. But I mean, should there be no consequences when someone in the NBA shares a link to a Holocaust denial film? Should there be no response at all, Chappelle? And do you roll your eyes this much if somebody is saying horrific thing about blacks or about any group that you are sensitive about? It's just like, yeah, it's really easy to roll your eyes and laugh because, oh, it's only the Jews who are sensitive about this, right? It's only those very rich and powerful Jews that are upset by this. They have no right to mind Kyrie Irving sharing this propaganda film. And Frank in the chat says, blacks attack Jews in Brooklyn, New York, lots of times. I mean, yeah, people who are black have certainly done that, and it's increased with time. Definitely in the last several years, since Donald Trump has been in office, and of course, Trump doesn't want people to do this, but for a number of reasons, in the new era that we live in, synagogues and people who are noticeably Jewish have been attacked all over the place. In LA, where I lived, in response to like Israeli versus Palestinian war taking place, Jews around LA were being attacked, not by blacks per se, but they were being attacked. In New York, there was like horrific shootings by black Israelites and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, Kanye West, he is voicing a lot of this so-called black Israelite perspective, saying, no, the Jews here aren't really Jews and they're evil. So basically taking the worst of all worlds in terms of like blaming the Jews for like stuff that you'll read about in the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, and also committing violence against them and just kind of rejecting capitalism and banking and all of that in the process. Synagogues around America today have an armed guard at the door. And this was not the case back when I was a child. Synagogues around the United States today, all of them have an armed guard at the doorway. I'll play into the stereotype here of the Jews and ask you, do you think it's because the Jews like wasting money on armed guards, or do you think they might have some reason to want an armed guard at the door of their house of worship? On with the video.
It's Kyrie Irving's black ass was nowhere near the Holocaust.
Yeah. Robin says anti-Semitism is very telling in someone having hatred for success of the good for the sake of being the good. Yeah, well, it's a hatred of the good for being the good. Yeah, I mean, that's ultimately what it is. And look, I've been annoyed by plenty of Jewish people I've known. There's people, members of every so-called ethnic group can behave in a way that gets on people's nerves. But at the end of the day, like to actually blame a group of people for like conspiring and for orchestrating something and being in on something truly insane, it really just amounts to just like a rejection of capitalism, which is deeper than that. It's a rejection of identity, the law of identity, that is, the philosophical identity. It's a rejection of causality. It's a rejection of reason. It's a rejection of ethic, of selfish ethics, of egoism. So again, the more you see in every branch of philosophy, the more the good is embraced, the more reason is embraced, the more rational selfishness is embraced, the more capitalism is embraced, the more people stop blaming the Jews, which I think is why the United States stands out in history as a place that the Jews could move to. You know, after untold centuries and millennia of persecution in Europe and throughout the world, the Jews finally had a place they could move to, which is the United States, and they thrived. And this chokes me up. The Jews basically they came to America, invented showbiz. They started opening theaters in places like New York, opening theaters, and began assimilating, or that is, throwing away their religious background. They started putting on shows on Friday night, which is you're not allowed to work on Friday night according to the Jewish religion. They were forgetting that they were basically saying, they were basically trading God and the Torah. They were trading that for life on earth, for the pursuit of happiness. They invented showbiz and they thrived. And then when Hollywood, films came around, a lot of Jewish people who couldn't get work in any other field were starting the Hollywood, like creating Hollywood, basically creating showbiz. And while all this is happening, so while Jews couldn't get into a lot of schools, couldn't get loans from the bank, couldn't get work in many industries, while this is happening, books like the Protocols of the Elders of Zion were being popularized around the world, promoting the idea that Jews are in control of everything. So it's not just today when, like, there's so many successful Jews that people are coming up with these conspiracies saying, oh, the Jews are conspiring. It was even back when Jews still were kind of like the underdogs economically, socially, in a place like America, which was, relatively tolerant. Even back then, the sort of collective blaming of the Jews and conspiracy theories about them were gaining popularity, gaining steam. On with the video.
In fact, he's not even certain it existed.
Pause. Yeah, that was a pretty clever joke. He's saying Kyrie Irving is not for the Holocaust. In fact, he's not even sure it happened. So yeah, it's a clever way to encapsulate the situation comedically. But also, like, Chappelle, should there be no response? Like, should there be no consequence, no social outcry when an NBA player promotes Holocaust denial? Like, would you be perfectly fine with a public figure tweeting out that life was better under Jim Crow? Like, would you be okay with that? Would you roll your eyes and say, oh, there goes the politically correct establishment again? Or would you wish there to be some social consequence? Marilyn with $5 says, anecdotally, I worked for a Jewish family owned business years ago. I was shocked how racist the family and most of the Jewish employees were. Lots of racism is unfortunately fairly widespread in the world. On with the video. Did we lose it? Okay.
I saw one news pundit screaming about Kanye. She said, mental health is no excuse for that type of language. Yes, it is, bitch. You can kill somebody if you're mentally ill. Listen, okay, I don't think Kanye is crazy at all. I think he's possibly not well. Well, I've been to Hollywood. I don't want y'all to get mad at me. I'm just telling you, I've been to Hollywood. This is just what I saw. It's a lot of juice. Like, a lot. But that didn't mean anything. You know what I mean? There's a lot of black people in Ferguson, Missouri. That doesn't mean we run the place.
Pause. Yeah, I mean, it's like, what exactly is the allegation, right? Like, what exactly is the allegation that there's a lot of Jews in Hollywood? There's a lot of Jews in showbiz. What are they doing, and to what extent are they collaborating? So like Kanye West with his rantings about the Jews. And if Kanye West had just said there's a lot of Jews in Hollywood, nobody would have cared. It's a hacky joke. It's been done so many times. It's like something Seth Rogen would say. Oh, it's all Jews. Oh, your boss, trust me, your boss is Jewish. Right? It's jaws do not drop when you point out that there's a lot of Jews in LA and Hollywood, in showbiz, in any business. People might be sensitive to it because of what you might be implying, given some of the conspiratorial connotations. But generally speaking, Chappelle, he's making this whole thing with Kanye West. He's making the whole thing about just that Kanye West pointed out there's a lot of Jews in the media or in showbiz. That was not what Kanye said. He did not just say there's a lot of Jews in media. He said, after saying I'm going DEFCON 3 on the Jews, he was talking about Jewish media, blaming his divorce, bringing up that Kim Kardashian is better friends with the Clintons than even he realized, talking about the values of the culture being under threat, the values of the culture and the way kids are being educated is being manipulated or harmed by the Jews. I mean, you got to be very careful with grouping things together. There's a lot of Jews working in media. There's a lot of Jews working in various fields. But to say that, like, the Jews are in on some kind of conspiracy is a scary, it's a scary thing. It rightfully makes people nervous. But Chappelle wants to play it all off like, oh, all he did was just say what we all think when we're in LA and we see a lot of Jewish people. Go on with the video.
I could see if you had some kind of issue, you know what I mean? You might go out to Hollywood and you might start connecting some kind of lines, and you could maybe adopt the delusion that the Jews run show business. It's not a crazy thing to think, but it's a crazy thing to say out loud in a climate like this.
Pause. Yeah, it's just the woke, right? It's political correctness. So Dave Chappelle, he came under fire for like his jokes or his opinions about trans people and a lot of the pro-trans community, whoever it was that is sensitive to that, came after him, tried to get him boycotted and stuff like that. So, you know, but this is like the same thing, according to Chappelle. But like Kanye West, again, he was conflating economic power with political power on such a level that basically he was drawing this picture, Kanye was, where like the Jews are, they have us all by the balls. It was absolutely insane. At one point, Kanye, he told Chris Cuomo, one of the Cuomos, that like he brings up the fact that like MC Search, a Jewish rapper, who I used to intern for as a lad at a radio station, by the way, that MC Search is selling like a piece of the publishing rights of Nas, the rapper Nas, who is a black man. And like they're buying and selling us, right? Like conflating the selling of the publishing rights to somebody's rap catalog. That's like the slave trade, in other words. Like just the... Like, so someone like Kanye West, just so sloppy and with such a loud voice, so much influence at a time when there's so much conspiracy theory floating around. Just the idea that like, oh, it should just be no big deal. Or that it is just political correctness again. It's just the climate we live in. It's not just the climate we live in. Kanye West truly is off his rocker. On with the video.
Now the midterms are over, and it's crazy climate. And I got to tell you, I feel like this midterm, like all of humanity depends on it. And it's an ominous sign. The most ominous sign of the midterms, I believe, would be Herschel Walker, who I don't want to speak badly of because he's black. But I have to admit, he's observably stupid. Even when he's not talking, his mouth be open a little bit. Like,
pause. Yeah, I mean, I don't even like Herschel Walker, to put it lightly, but let's just be very clear that Chappelle is only comfortable going after him because he's a Republican. So the Republicans are right to point out that it's only safe to make fun of a black guy on TV if he's a Republican. On with the video.
He's the kind of guy that looks like he thinks before he makes a move on tic-tac-toe. And I'm watching the news now, they're declaring the end of the Trump era. Now, okay, I can see how in New York you might believe this is the end of his era. I'm just being honest with you. I live in Ohio amongst the poor whites. A lot of you don't understand why Trump was so popular, but I get it, because I hear it every day. He's very loved. And the reason he's loved is because people in Ohio have never seen somebody like him. He's what I call an honest liar. Well, I'm not joking right now. He's an honest liar. That first debate, I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen a white male billionaire screaming at the top of his lungs, "This whole system is rigged," he said. And across the stage was a white woman, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, sitting over there looking at him like, "No, it's not." I said, "Now, wait a minute, bro. It's what he said." And the moderator said, "Well, Mr. Trump, if in fact the system is rigged, as you suggest, what would be your evidence?" You remember what he said, bro? He said, "I know the system is rigged because I use it." I said, "God damn."
Pause. So, like, Trump fans love this part right here. They're like, "Yes, yes, this is like they're so proud." They're so proud that, like, Donald Trump is openly like corrupt and just admitting to it. It's like, yeah, there is merit to having somebody who is sort of like honest in that respect, who is blunt in that respect. But wouldn't it be great to have somebody who like is actually advocating for fixing the system? You used to have Republicans before Trump, the people who resisted Trump, the people who did not want Trump to become the nominee back in 2015. A lot of them, they were talking about making a flat tax, abolishing the IRS and simplifying the process of paying taxes, you know, getting rid of cronyism, very few of them went as far as I would like to in the direction of capitalism, but they would talk about cronyism a little bit. They would talk about subsidies and regulations being bad for economic growth and for life and all of that. And Trump basically, he hit pause on all of that kind of talk. He hit pause on any sort of rhetoric about wanting to bring us sort of closer to capitalism and away from the lobby system. And Trump is like the first candidate to just ever be like, "Yeah, I participate in the lobby system. I collaborate with politicians. I've minimized how much taxes I pay." Let's play. He's about to talk about taxes.
I got an Illuminati membership card, chopped a line of cocaine up and did it right at the podium.
Pause. And it's not like some giant revelation that, you know, quote, the system is rigged. The system is not really rigged. I mean, there's a lot of BS that goes on. There's a lot of corruption and favors, but that is the nature of the lobby system. It's because people don't want liberty. They don't want laissez-faire capitalism. They conflate laissez-faire capitalism with what we currently have. What they conflate it with is corporations, rich corporations, control us all. You know, businessmen that celebrate Hanukkah are going to control us all under real capitalism. What we have today, and I don't mean to emphasize the amount of people in business today celebrating Hanukkah. What I'm saying is what we have today is a lobby system, a crony system, where businessmen and politicians trade favors, where, you know, the rich donate to political campaigns. And then if elected, the politician owes them a favor. And it's not just the rich, and it's not just businessmen. It's the welfare lobby. It's the poor. It's foreign lobbies. It's all types of lobbies. It's people, they donate money, or they hold people's votes, like the unions. They say, "Look, the union tells politician, you do what we want, and I'll encourage my union members to vote for you." So I mean, the whole lobby system is what it is, but guys like Chappelle, they're not advocating for actual laissez-faire capitalism. He just wants politicians to not look out for the corporations, but to continue doing favors for the poor, for the unions, for the quote little guy. And no, you either you get a lobby system or you get liberty. You got to pick one. Yeah, on with the video.
No one ever heard someone say something that true.
Pause. Yeah, one more point, by the way. Dave Chappelle, he's like, unironically, he hangs out with Al Gore and Kamala Harris. Like, he hangs out with, like, the most basic bitch, mainstream, corrupt Democrats. I mean, Kamala Harris. So, Dave Chappelle, he's hardly this, quote, red-pilled, outside the box, you know, bring down the whole system and start over kind of guy. This guy, he unironically hangs out with guys like Al Gore. Can you imagine being in the same room as Al Gore and not laughing at him? Kamala Harris, on with the video.
Punch him in the taxes. She said, this man doesn't pay his taxes. He shot right back. That makes me smart.
Pause. And then he said, yeah, Trump has always been like, yeah, like I'm good at working the system, but never once has Trump said we should change the system, right? He's never once just been like, we should move away from a lobby crony system. He just brags. He's like, oh, of course, I'm the best at this system. I'm the best at manipulating the situation. And that's what I'll do on behalf of America, he promised. You know, the whole world is a zero-sum game. The whole world is a lobby system, and he'll lobby for us better than anyone else. The other presidents, says Trump, the other politicians, they were just bending over for China. They were bending over for the OPEC nations. But he'll look out for us. Absolutely pathetic, anti-intellectual, disgraceful, anti-liberty, anti-capitalist nonsense. And of course, it resonates with someone like Dave Chappelle, who is none of those things. He's not for liberty, not for reason, not for capitalism. He's a disgruntled, grumpy guy who doesn't show up to work. You know, I'll tell you this about the Jews, Chappelle. They're known for showing up to work. Okay? I've never heard of a man of Jewish descent not showing up for season 3 of his hit show. So rather than making yourself a hero and bragging all the time about how you effed over your colleagues and audience when you flaked out for season 3 of the Chappelle show, why not ask yourself, what is it about this group of people that are performing so high in all these various sectors of the economy? What is it about the Jews? What are they doing that makes people confident they're going to show up for work? That they're going to do a great job and that they understand the show must go on. They understand once you give your word, you're going to be somewhere at a certain time. Word is bond. On with the video.
If you want me to pay my taxes, then change the tax code. But I know you won't, because your friends and your donors enjoy the same tax breaks that I do. And with that, my friends.
Wow, what a revelation, right? Like, by the way, what does Dave Chappelle do on April 15th? Does he just go on TurboTax.com, say, here's what I made this year, and give them 40%? No, like anyone who makes over 60 grand a year or anyone who makes enough to have to pay an income tax, he hires an accountant. The accountant writes off his car as a company car, writes off, you know, his computer as business equipment, a business expense. Writes off his fancy dinner as, you know, a business meeting. Just that's what everybody does. Unless, as Trump would say, unless they're stupid. That's what everybody does, including Chappelle, including the people standing behind him in this video, including the people who run SNL. Everyone who has money and needs to pay taxes, they go to someone to help them, or they personally themselves write off a bunch of expenses and they minimize how much they pay in taxes. That's how it works. That's what people do. So for Trump to just say like, yeah, I pay as little taxes as possible is not some huge confession. Like, oh, we've never seen something like this. All right, we're almost out of time. Let's keep going.
A star was born. No one had ever seen anything like that. No one had ever seen somebody come from inside of that house, outside, and tell all the commoners, we are doing everything that you think we are doing.
Yeah. Inside of that house. Keep going.
They just went right back in the house and started playing the game again. Democrats were sore losers. I'm a Democrat, and I'm telling you, as soon as he won, they started saying all that he's colluding with Russia. It was very embarrassing as a Democrat, but as time went on, we all came to learn He was probably colluding with Russia. I even look at his wife different now. His wife is beautiful, no question about it, but she looks like the kind of chick that James Bond would smash but not trust. Why he got all them documents at his house? What is this? This guy that's famous for not reading his press briefings, now all of a sudden he got 10,000 documents in his house and we'll catch him on his readings.
All right. You know, that's all the time we have. I don't think he said anything else very remarkable from what I remember. Christopher says, I don't think he flaked out. I think Bill Cosby told him the Chappelle Show is too underground and portrays black people poorly. Imagine Cosby. I believe that's true. He had an emotional breakdown. Look, be that as it may, at least speak openly to the public and say, look, here's why I'm quitting the show. And I'm sorry to my colleagues who were expecting me to be here. I'm sorry to the audience who's expecting the show to take place. That is how professionals handle showbiz. That is, you know, you watch Boardwalk Empire and it shows you those early days of showbiz where some probably gay Jewish guy is standing on a stage inventing comedy in front of an audience. That guy says, I gave my word, I'll be here. And then Christopher goes on, and I don't know what that meant about being late to work. I didn't say anything about being late to work. That is a racial stereotype. I did not say. I was telling Chappelle, you flaked out on season 3 of your show. You screwed over the audience and your colleagues. And he's still bragging about it to this day. I'm the guy who walked away from the $50 million bus. That's stupid. It was flaky. It was unprofessional. And, you know, one of the Jewish stereotypes is that the Jews show up for work. All right. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up at 7 p.m. UK time, the Fountainhead Book Club with Shoshana Milgram for ARC UK members. The session will also be live streamed for YouTube members. Link in the chat. And at 10 p.m. UK time, it's Artful Tuesdays with Kirk Barbera and Shikalela and special guest Jeff Britting on Vesta Dunning, one of the unpublished excerpts from The Fountainhead. Yeah, that was like a girlfriend that Howard Roark had in an early version of The Fountainhead who was written out. Chris says, that's Dave Chappelle, brah. I don't understand what you're saying. But okay. All right. Yeah. Link in the chat. Thank you all for joining us today. I hope this was in good taste. I know this channel is not, we're not here to ridicule and just like use that as an argument. That seems to be more and more common these days, but I hope this came off as thoughtful and sort of in the interest of pursuing truth rather than just kind of poking fun and destroying with this and melting the snowflakes. Christopher says, meaning you just said show business and being such and such, he's doing quite well. I mean, yeah, he is doing well, but, the fact that he flaked out on season 3 of his show is not something for him to brag about. That is an article of embarrassment. And since he clearly has a chip on his shoulder, he clearly has a bone to pick with the Jews that keeps coming up. Maybe Dave Chappelle should ask himself, why is it that Jews in showbiz don't feel as fucked over as I, Dave Chappelle, do? Maybe it's because the Jews did not flake out on season 3 of their hit show at the peak of its popularity. But if you want to just keep on arguing with me endlessly for the sake of disagreement, you're free to do that. Thank you all for joining us today. We'll be back tomorrow for the Daily Objective, and goodbye.